Hello and welcome back to the April 20th edition of the Gay Geek Theory Podcast.
Side B.
Well, part two.
Side B.
Yeah. So, welcome back. We're both here.
I have cheesies.
So, and I have a brownie. So, let's start talking about HBO.
HBO. And what does everyone think of when HBO comes to mind, aside from porn? Game of Thrones, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, porn with a story.
Porn with a story. Like, seriously, some of this, like, Game of Thrones stuff, I could fap to.
Easily. fucking the blonde dude in the...
Laura's and what's-his-face?
And...
The hooker guy who went AWOL.
The hooker guy who went AWOL and...
AWOL.
AWOL. So, anyway, last week, four episodes were leaked. And were downloaded...
And naturally, I shirked my studying duties to binge-watch with James.
And they were downloaded 100,000 times in an hour.
Oh my god, and they were worth it.
Yeah.
They were worth it.
And now we have to wait a month.
The unfortunate part is that we got to the end of the fourth episode, we're like, Jesus fucking Christ!
And of course the fourth episode ends on a cliffhanger, because...
I secretly think, well, I don't know so secretly, I think that HBO secretly released leaked it themselves.
Yeah.
Because viewership on that fifth episode is going to be through the fucking roof.
Yeah. And mid-season is usually where the ratings dip a little bit, and then they pick up again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a distinct possibility.
Especially because we're getting into like some really heavy action-y shit halfway through the season, where it's usually back-weighted.
Yeah. It's usually left until episode 9 that they have big scenes.
Gotta say, this is where they start deviating from the books.
By a lot. I'm not going to get into any kind of spoilers here, but anyone who has read A Dance for Dragons and A Feast for Crows knows that...
Well, aside from Jon Snow knowing nothing.
Aside from that, which even
I love
Red
how
Woman
that's
knows,
taking off. That's becoming a meme now, as you know nothing, Jon Snow.
That's been a meme for years.
Really? Because I don't know. That's...
The Red Woman's hopping on board now, though.
Really? What does she say that's really kind of...
Well, no, she said to Jon Snow, you know nothing, Jon Snow. Yeah.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
But
I every time she said that,
Ygritte.
Every time she said that, I could not take her seriously. I giggled because she, the way she was pronouncing Jon Snow, it was Jon Snow.
But yeah, so they were leaked, and now the question is sort of
how true is HBO going to stay to the source material?
Well, there's that question, which obviously I don't think they're staying.
They
can't stay that true, because if they want to be able to continue the series into a season 6, they're going to have to write some storylines that are along the same lines.
They're just going to have to veer away from what George R. R. Martin.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they're going to have to write some storylines that,
which is really
that go along the same path as George R. R. Martin's, but they have to be different because they can't be exactly what's in the book.
Which is really concerning, because then is George R. R. Martin going to start writing to match the TV series that people are already in love with,
or is he just going to
go in a completely different direction and say "fuck you guys" and go in do his own thing?
Yeah.
Either way, I don't see it working out well for him.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to get his shit together. He needs to start really hammering down, or else he's going to get left behind.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's in a dangerous spot right now, because, I mean, if he gets book 6 published this year, The Winds of Winter, then HBO will probably be able to make 2 seasons out of it. Because he writes long books.
Yeah.
But that means he has 2 years to write the final book, and he takes...
Doesn't have a great track record.
5-6 years to write these books. Mm-hmm. I mean, A Dance with Dragons came out right around the start of Game of Thrones, the show. Mm-hmm. That's how long ago it's been. I mean, he needs to sort of... we've talked about this before, but...
Yeah.
But I think the real question with the leak is... And obviously, we weren't the only ones who sat down and binge watched them.
Mm-hmm.
Should HBO just start releasing them all at once, a la Netflix? Obviously, you don't get the water cooler conversation that you have on a weekly basis, but
you do get the element of like, if the water cooler, like, hey, did you binge watch Game of Thrones yesterday? And we're like, no, I didn't have time. Well, I'm gonna spoil it for you. And then you have people chasing people around the other people around the office with, like, who dies this season. People screaming, no, no, no! There was actually a bunch of psychics. I think it was Time Magazine?
Yeah.
Someone. They got 10 psychics to make predictions on who was going to die in this season. And, you know, some people said Daenerys. Two people said Daenerys. Three people said Arya. Three people said Cersei. Three people said Jaime Lannister. A few people said Tyrion. And I'm like, and then there were like some predictions that were so hyper specific on what goes on. I'm like, you read the fucking books, didn't you?
And I mean, I think they should. Netflix is sort of where it's at now for serialized storytelling. They're really taking over with Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, Daredevil. They've got a few other ones that are apparently really good that I haven't checked out yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are releasing these shows, 13 episodes all at once. People are sitting down and watching 13 episodes
at once.
Like, and they have more Netflix has more subscribers than HBO does.
Really? Okay.
And I think HBO Game of Thrones ends up getting pirated a lot, which HBO is losing money.
Yeah.
Whereas if they did something like Netflix and they released it all at once, it would be less likely to be pirated.
The difference is that HBO, especially HBO Now, HBO Go?
HBO Go is their mobile app. HBO Now is what they have with, it's exclusively with Apple TV,
right.
iPhone, and iPad now.
The difference is that Netflix lets you watch it wherever. You can get it on TV, you can get it on your little box thing, you can get it on your computer, you can get it on your phone, you can get it on Apple, you can get it on your game systems.
Yeah. Whereas with HBO right now,
they're trying to control when and how you watch it.
And I mean, that's been the way television has worked since its inception. But things are changing.
The playing field is different. We have a generation which the entire world is at their fingertips with a Google search.
Yeah.
Like, people don't like being told how to do something. Especially when you can just do it for free. Like, that's what people say after a Game of Thrones episode comes out, is, shit, I have to download that episode.
Yeah. And
whereas if they just release it all at once, or even like half the season once and half the season later on their Netflix-like thing, people would subscribe to that. So they didn't have to go through downloading, finding torrents, finding appropriate torrents, making sure it plays.
Yeah, because
make it convenient for viewers and they will pay.
Because basically it's $20 a month for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
It's $8 a month for Netflix. And with that Netflix subscription, you get movies and TV and thousands and thousands and thousands of shows.
And original content.
And where HBO, I mean, their shows are fantastic, so it's worth the money. But when you don't have the money, you're going to torrent it. However, if you have a service.
But the thing about HBO being, like, time-slotted is if you don't have the time, you're going to torrent it. If you miss that episode of Game of Thrones, you can't watch it again.
Right.
You have to torrent if you miss that episode, because
I mean, they do replay it a lot through the week, because HBO doesn't have a lot of content. It goes on demand and stuff like that, but it's, if you release it all at once, then, releasing it every Sunday like HBO does, you basically get, you get the water cooler effect and everything, you also get the fact that people will feel left out if they have to work Sunday night, or something like that, because then, okay, they can rewatch it on Tuesday afternoon or something like that. But
then, especially the internet spoilers are hitting, and
yeah, whereas if you release everything at once, then you don't get the water cooler effect, but you do sort of get this communal, oh my god, I have to watch it
thing. Like, where people are, like, racing to watch it. Like, I have to fucking, like, watch all of House of Cards right now!
Yeah. It's like when Daredevil came out,
only in episode 3.
We watched 11 episodes.
And then I, like, started crying because
I think I had a slight breakdown, too much Daredevil, so we took some time off.
I think that was after the really violent episodes, too, so I think
yeah.
It was, like, 4 a.m., and I was, like, tired, I was exhausted, James had to, like, hold me and rock me back and forth. I was a mess. Like, we were going to do a Daredevil review for the longest time, but we kept putting it off. I'm in the middle of exams, final papers, James is busy with work, And by the time we actually got around to it, we didn't have a lot to say that hadn't already been said.
Yeah.
What I'd like to talk about instead is how Daredevil is a game changer.
I think Daredevil is a huge game changer.
Because, like, Netflix subscription rates almost doubled.
Yeah.
In the week before Daredevil got premiered.
And, I mean, I think Daredevil is a huge game changer as far as comic book
shows. And the thing that everyone's saying about Daredevil is that Marvel did Batman better than Batman.
Yeah, when you look at Daredevil...
This is the Batman we deserved.
If Daredevil had been released in theaters, it would be rated R.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would be rated X.
Well, no.
Like, some of the shit that they put on there?
Well, no.
Were you not
violence,
watching?
Violence gets an R rating. Mm. You need sex in order to get higher than that. But it would be rated R. How can you release a Batman movie now as PG-13? Mm-hmm. When this is its competition.
Yeah, especially when he's... Like, there are scenes directly out of Batman. Like, scenes by the docks. Like, the very opening scene with the man in the mask.
Yeah.
Is he's beating up a bunch of human traffickers. Something that didn't happen in Batman.
Yeah.
That happens in real life way too much.
Yeah.
And he's, like, jumping between, like, cargo crates. And he's, like, attacking people from darkness. And, like, in the... Christopher Nolan, he didn't direct action very well, and you just saw a bunch of blurring and movement. Yeah. But this, you actually saw, like, fucking amazing acrobatics, and the actor, what's his name, whatever his name is, he did all of his own stunts blindfolded.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing, and it really showed, too, because there weren't any that many rigs, except for, like, the parkour scenes. But when he's just flipping around, that's him flipping around.
Yeah, which, like, is really cool.
It's really cool because you get a sense of the momentum going into it, you get a sense of the acrobatics going into it, and you don't get that gravity lag that you get with rigs.
Yeah.
It was just fantastic. Like, you really got a sense, like, shit, this guy is, like, ninja extraordinaire.
And I think Daredevil also changed the game as far as superhero television goes, because... Mm-hmm. I mean, you had, with Marvel, you had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter, which were fun. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was crap. Apparently it's good now. Agent Carter was a lot of fun.
Agent Carter was amazing fun,
it was a TV show.
It was a TV show. But, like, from the medium, it worked really well. We've already talked about all this.
Yeah. Whereas Daredevil comes across as more than just a TV show. Mm-hmm. It's like a mid-ground between TV and
also,
movie.
It kind of proved that Netflix can be a really amazing venue for action.
Yeah. I mean, so far, they have things like Orange is the New Black, which is a lot of talking. House of Cards, which is a lot of talking.
They're all dramas or comedies, and they're amazing, because they hire some really amazing talent for them.
Yeah.
Some of the lesser-known ones aren't so great. Most of them are gay.
But there's a lot of gay content on Netflix.
There's a lot of gay shit on Netflix.
It's not Netflix-produced, though. Netflix just buys it.
Well, that's because no one else will, and Netflix is like, yeah, why not?
Yeah, Netflix is like, there's gay people who subscribe to us, let's give them some stuff, they'll watch it, and...
Well, and that's the thing that Netflix is looking at, is that gay people, either they go out to parties, and they party a lot, or they sit in and watch TV, like, to no end, and most of them sit in and watch TV!
Yeah.
So Netflix knows its demographics.
Yeah, like, Netflix,
And a lot of them are actually pretty shitty.
like, the US Netflix has Queer as Folk, which is, like, the epitome of gay television. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. Netflix does. Canadian Netflix doesn't.
Because Canadian, like, television,
even though Queer as Folk was produced in Canada,
really,
yeah.
Huh.
It was all shot in Toronto, but
Toronto's pretty gay.
But they also have a lot of other gay stuff, a lot of gay movies, documentaries. I think they have Drag Race on there. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the thing about HBO is that HBO is canceling their.
They're gay looking. Which, I mean, it was terrible.
It wasn't a great show, but it's kind of on par with some of the lesser stuff that Netflix is putting out. But the thing about putting, like, lesser content on a thing like Netflix, on a live streaming TV application, you can put shitty stuff on there. Because when you subscribe to Netflix, you're subscribing for everything. It's a non-discriminant subscription fee.
You're paying your $8 a month. I pay a little more because I... hack the IP address so that I can get US Netflix.
Which won't happen a lot anymore.
I'll figure out a way.
Well, that's really stupid, because, like, nobody watches Canadian Netflix. Canadian Netflix has shit.
That's terrible.
Please, Netflix, help us.
Don't make me go buy the DVDs of stuff. God, please. Or pirate it.
I mean, with Netflix stuff, it's really hard to torrent Netflix shows because they take it down pretty quick.
Yeah. The first episode of Daredevil is available to be torrented, but not the second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like, you know, get them to download it, wet their palate, and then come get their Netflix subscription, mm-hmm. Which Adobe used to do. They were infamous for doing that with Photoshop and stuff like that, is they would actually yeah. send out
yeah.
Codes for people to get it for free through pirate sites and stuff, and then...
60-day subscription.
Or no, they would get it for free, and then the updates would come and be like, the updates are really good, come buy the real thing, and then they would end up buying the real thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're one of those people who bought the real thing.
Mm. I didn't. I had someone buy it for me. I'm cheap, but he is not. But yeah, like, you're paying your subscription, and so if people are watch, if Looking was on Netflix, and
sure,
and 100,000 people were watching it, and Netflix could be kind of like, that's 100,000 people that maybe they're here specifically for that, maybe they're not.
Still, it's keeping them happy.
If they're here specifically for that, they're coming in, and they're buying their membership, and then they're going to watch some more stuff.
That's the thing about Netflix, is you don't have to go out of your way to watch something. You're bored on the couch, you turn on something, put it on in the background. We can't do that with time slot television.
No, because you have DVRs and stuff like that.
If you're a fan of Looking, you have to go out of your way, make time in your busy schedule to watch Looking.
Yeah, and because, I mean, we do have DVRs and things like that, but the numbers aren't calculated the same way as normal ratings, and so they don't quite factor in the same way. Because with advertisers, they don't like DVRs because you can fast forward through the advertisements. Mm-hmm. So they don't care what your DVR numbers are. They care what your live numbers are.
Yeah. Well,
HBO doesn't have advertisers, yeah. but it's just an example. Yeah. Which is why The Big Bang Theory is doing so well, because it's a half hour.
It's on in a, you know, you put it on, you put it on your TV after dinner, you go around, do your stuff, you do whatever, you clean up after dinner, Big Bang Theory is on, you're chuckling away while you're doing your dishes and shit.
Yeah, like, I caught up with the Big Bang Theory.
That's what my grandparents do.
This weekend, I watched all of season 8 through, because I hadn't seen any of it, and there were some episodes where I laughed a lot.
The things you do when I'm not around.
Oh, it's things I would be ashamed to do around people.
And, I don't know why we haven't talked about Big Bang Theory. We have a little bit, haven't we?
I don't know.
I think we have.
Big Bang Theory is a weird show, because it's sort of like, it's nerdy, but some nerds say it's like pandering.
They say it's making fake nerdism popular. It's making geek chic, so to speak. It's making a generation of people who watch Big Bang Theory and like, oh, nerds are amazing people. And you're like, no, I do real things. I don't socialize with people. I don't have cool friends like this. That's not what being a geek is like.
And then you get to ask the question, like, who is a real geek?
Yeah.
Who's a real nerd?
Yeah. Like who... And that's the thing. Another thing about Big Bang Theory, I'm sure we've talked about this, because I know we've talked about how the nerdy guy doesn't always get the pretty girl. And that's really the only time that Big Bang Theory's ever really fucked up.
Well, when you think about it, though, I mean, okay, Leonard got Penny. And that's... the one that really doesn't make that much sense. But it does happen sometimes.
It does.
And
it does.
I mean, Sheldon and Amy, they look like they belong together. Like, they look like a couple Amy's you would
really
see.
Amy's really pretty when she gets all dolled up.
In real life, actress is beautiful, but on the show...
All the actors are beautiful people in real life.
Yeah, and like the one who...
They did a really good job of like making them really homely.
Yeah, like the one who plays Raj, like, I just want to... Mm-hmm. Howard, like, I want...
That's all Indian guys, though. You love Indian guys.
And Jewish guys.
Indians and Jews.
And tall, nerdy guys. Everyone but Leonard. I just want to, like, have a gangbang with the Big Bang Theory cast. apparently. Jesus.
Well, and that's the thing, like, are these people real nerds? Because the shit they do, and that's the thing about a lot of people who watch the show, is they look at someone like Sheldon, like, oh my god, I would totally love Sheldon in real life.
Like, no, like, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
I know Sheldon's
like,
in real life.
That's the thing about Sherlock, too. It's like, no, you wouldn't like these people.
Yeah, like, Sherlock would grate on your nerves.
Well, not me, because, you know, I put up with me all the time, so... I just love people like that who are just snarky and everything. And but that's the thing about TV, is you get that distance from them. You don't have to be in their lives when they're... You don't have to be them all around the time. If they're starting to piss you off, turn off the fucking television.
Yeah.
But you can't do that to real people.
Yeah, like, if you were actually roommates with Sheldon, then, you know...
It would start to piss you off a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that the show does really well, is how much people get pissed off by Sheldon.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes Sheldon's adorable and really funny, and I personally think the actor is really attractive.
He's amazing.
Jim Parsons, if you weren't taken...
They should do a crossover between 30 Rock and Big Bang Theory, and Kenneth Parcell and Jim Parsons should just have a conversation. Like, negative chin, like...
Oh my god. and Jonathan and Raj.
Dina Fey would just be down to earth with Penny, like.
Well, she would be like, yeah, she would be fine, and then
because Penny's
Jenna
really pretty.
Would be over in the background,
yeah,
like,
she would
with
be
sharpening a knife
like,
or something.
A pretty blonde, like, get her out of here.
Get her. Is she an actress? She is actually. Get her out of here.
She's trying to be an actress.
You shouldn't try to be an actress. Just in case. You wouldn't succeed.
Rips out a hoop ring.
I fucking love Jenna.
Oh my god. We need to make a video of all the best Jenna moments. We just gush about Jenna. But again, we've been saying we need to make a special issue of Young Avenger where we just gush about them.
Yeah. There's a lot of special edition stuff we have to do, which yeah. I think we're going to get into because I'm getting into more videos.
Yeah, we're getting into videos. Reviews. I'm getting out of school. It's a heaven sent.
Fingers crossed.
Oh yeah, I might not. I might not make it. this is my backup plan. If we'll actually English degrees. Never mind. Anyways, yeah, we started talking about the real nerd, and that was something we wanted to bring up. Is like, what is a real nerd? And we pretty much come to the conclusion: is a real nerd is someone who agrees with you on everything.
Yeah, because I mean, you get like the people who say that women who go to Comic-Con and stuff are doing it for attention. Mm-hmm. Well, I know girls who I'm really good friends with, one who is really attractive and loves video mm-hmm. games and superheroes, and if she got the chance to cosplay like anyone, she would be all over that.
Well,
shit.
And that's the thing about me is a lot of people say I'm really pretty. I don't see it. James is rolling his eyes. Can you hear him?
That was such a like that forced. Oh. Backhanded compliment. No.
Compliment. What? It was a backhanded.
That
what
thing Jenna does.
Yeah, when you insult yourself, but actually, like.
Yeah.
I identify a lot with. Fuck, who's really pretty? I identify a lot. It's hard for me to be so similar to Michael Hamm. Like,
it's hard for me to watch American Idol because I have perfect pitch.
Like. Well, that's the thing. Like, I look at, like, people like Michael Hamm. Maybe not Michael Hamm, because I know him a bit. Of him a bit. through James. I know him a bit through James. I should clarify, in case you're listening, Michael. I don't actually know you. I don't stalk you. In fact, quite the opposite. On my, like, Facebook page, I will block pictures of pretty people. Because I don't want to look at them. I don't want to look at pretty people.
Even though he looks in the mirror constantly.
can't deny.
But yeah, it's sort of like,
well, it's
the real nerd thing. It's
like if you're pretty, you can't be a real nerd because
yeah,
unpretty nerds like James and myself.
you just called me unpretty.
Unpretty. Fuck, foot and mouth. Like Jesus. Can we take a lot of this out? Can we just take a lot of this out?
No.
Fuck, why not?
Because.
I feel really bad.
I said so.
I feel really bad.
Like,
if you're good looking, you're not a nerd, because if you're good looking, you can use your looks to get people like you.
Yeah, you don't have to be intelligent, apparently, mm-hmm. or into nerdy things.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, display any sense of personality to get people like you.
Yeah, and it's I think there's definitely more of a focus put on women. Mm-hmm. Attractive women who are nerds and geeky than attractive guys.
Because it's like, oh, you're just cock-teasing all the ugly guys here.
Well, it's like, I think guys are just sort of, okay, you grew up playing video games and comic books and superheroes and stuff, so, okay, yeah, that's your thing. Whereas women...
If you're pretty, it's like, you put effort... If you're pretty, it automatically means you put effort into being pretty. And putting effort into being pretty takes away time from doing nerdy stuff. And if you're pretty, you're one of the popular kids. And popular kids
don't do nerdy
stuff.
I think when it comes to guys, if they're good-looking, it's just sort of like, okay, he's good-looking.
Me? I don't know. It took me a long time to come to that conclusion. It took me a long time to realize that I was just insanely jealous of these really pretty guys who were cosplaying. Because mm-hmm. I would look at them and be like, oh, they're just a whore trying to get attention. Which is the argument against girls. And it took a while for me to distance myself from that thinking and realize, oh, that's just a personal issue I have.
Yeah, I mean, these are guys who just happen to be lucky enough to have really good genetics, who did the same things we did when we were kids, watched cartoons and played video games, and they just have really good genetics.
I'm trying to get in shape. It's a fucking bitch to get in shape.
I'm trying to get in shape, he says, as he looks in the mirror at his abs.
They're not abs.
The meanwhile, am trying to get in shape, because the shape I am right now is that of a pear, and I would much prefer a different shape. Any shape, really, other than a pear.
We're getting there.
Perhaps the shape of a bottle of rum, or something. I don't know.
Like,
why.
To be a square. Like.
Yeah, just like, straight up and down, nothing. Like a fucking made from Play-Doh.
It's hard work to get in shape and to be pretty unless you started it from a really young age. Which is what happened with a lot of these guys. They kind of played sports and did nerdy things. It's a lot more acceptable for guys to do nerdy things.
Absolutely. It is way like more acceptable for guys to be nerdy than girls. I mean, that there was...
Like, it's kind of a joke in American culture that when you move in with a girl, she has to tell you to get rid of all your comic books.
Yeah. I mean, recently,
perks of being gay is a guy will never tell you to do that unless he's a, like, screaming queen.
Yeah. And recently on The Big Bang Theory, there was actually something like that because they were talking about geeky things, and Penny brought up Game of Thrones and how she likes Game of Thrones. And Bernadette was like, oh, do you watch it because Leonard watches it? And she's like, no, it's really good. And so it was like, even on that show, they're saying, like...
Like, the Big Bang Theory, I love Big Bang Theory, because they explore a lot of those social things, and you really don't get that in sitcoms since the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, on Big Bang Theory, you sort of get the... Sometimes there's heavy-handed stuff about bullying and stuff like that. There's one episode I just can't watch, because it's so heavy-handed anti-bullying. It's just like, come on, and, like, it's Glee. It's an episode of Glee without the music. And so I just can't watch it. But most of the time they deal with stuff like education, unemployment, and women in the workplace and stuff like that. And it's really interesting, like, how they deal with... They deal with some more stuff than I think people give them credit for.
Yeah, and especially since, like, the 90s became just a smorgasbord of slapstick comedy between... Frasier was fantastic and it was really ironic and snarky, but there wasn't anything social in it. Friends was just a dead air.
There was a lot of social... Well, not a lot, but a relatively large amount of social stuff in Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm. Mostly around being gay.
All around being gay, really. Well, a little bit about being a woman.
When you have a show like that in the 90s, like, how can being gay not take center stage? Yeah. Especially if you're trying to promote a positive representation of gay
and it was sort of like, when Will and Grace got to about season 3, they were sort of inching into gay stuff. And that's when Queer as Folk came in, and it was like, oh, shit. And then when you get to about the last season of Will and Grace... There's, I mean, talking about being a top and a bottom.
It's all about adoption, and too. Like,
well, no,
the
I mean, they talked about gay sex way more open in the 8th season, because I guess they were like, well, we've only got this one season left, let's just go whole hog for it.
Swan song, right?
Yeah, so talk about bottoming and topping and felching, and they didn't really talk about felching, but...
What the fuck is felching?
Felching is when you come in a guy and then you eat him out.
I thought that was snowballing.
That's another term for it. Yeah, I think felching is the medical term.
Medical term.
That's what the doctor does after your colonoscopy. He felches you. I don't know.
Okay. Felching.
Only if you have a really good health plan.
It's a fucking, like, Dutch health plan for that. Go to fucking Amsterdam. Health center in the red light district. No, like, felching, best way to get E. coli.
Get E. coli, but have fun doing it. Suddenly we've turned X-rated. I'm going to have to put an adults-only one on this one. I don't think any kids listen to us anyway.
We
if they do, we're sorry.
HBO and Netflix and... You're talking about TV in general. I
yeah.
guess.
Television.
And, like, that's the thing that...
Television
think,
is a failing art form.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're trying to prove. But also, like, I like this topic of being, like gay in representation of media, because I keep saying how easy it is to be a gay... To become a gay idol these days. Like, to become a gay icon, so to speak.
Yes.
And it's ridiculously easy, because people, for a while, were calling Rihanna a gay icon. I'm like, really? Why? What has she done?
Like, I hate that. I hate that. When it's like, Rihanna is a gay icon, or that fucking, what's her bitch?
Ariana Grande?
There, that one. That like, she's a gay icon. Just because you make music that gay people like does not make you a gay icon. There
definitely.
Are reasons that Cher, Madonna, Bette Midler are gay
icons. And meanwhile, like,
icons.
Miley Cyrus and, like, Macklemore. Like, I talk about Macklemore all the time because I think it's one of the failing of the gay community to hate, to not like him.
Yeah.
Like, they actually try and promote gay rights, and they get shafted, because they don't make gay music.
Yeah, and it's like, People, like, when you think of gay icons, you usually think of women in pop culture, and it's usually Cher, Madonna, Bette Midler.
Although Adam Levine,
that.
Though, Adam Levine's getting in there.
But I'm talking like when there's the gay icon status is so firmly cemented on them.
Well, yeah, and Cher, there's a reason Madonna, Lady Gaga,
because
Tina
Cher,
Turner.
Cher was fighting for gay rights before gay rights were a thing.
Stevie Nicks.
Madonna fought for gay rights during the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. Bette Midler started her career performing in bathhouses in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are people who started with the gay community and built up the gay community with them as they became famous. Mm-hmm. That's what Lady Gaga did.
Well, yeah.
She appealed to the gay community and brought them up with
her
as
she became
bigger.
Well, especially post-Bush. Like...
Yeah. Whereas now it's like, there are artists who, they go out, a lot of artists go out there and they release a CD or an album or a single and maybe it's not so big. And then they release one that is more gay-friendly and suddenly they have a really big hit and they're like, oh, they're so good with the gay community. I'm like, no, all they did was release a dance song. That's all they fucking did. With That bitch.
Who can't enunciate.
And
seriously, you can
and
do...
Rihanna, I'm sorry, Rihanna, you went back with a guy who beat the shit out of you. You are not a gay icon. Well, Tina Turner is a gay icon, and she left the guy who beat the shit out of her, and she wrote a song about it.
Well, yeah, like, being, especially, like, there's a lot, there was a while ago about a woman who felt that gays were stealing black culture, because, you know, like, that, especially because, like, gays took to Beyonce for being a strong woman, and it's, that's neither here nor there, that's not part of the gay idolatry, but, like, Beyonce isn't particularly a gay icon.
No.
But she is a gay idol. She represents the kind of strength and integrity that gay people want to represent. About being yourself, not letting people get you down,
being
strong and
powerful. The biggest thing I think that makes people a gay icon is going through hell and coming out on the other side stronger.
Beyonce hasn't really gone through hell.
No, and I think that's why she hasn't quite risen to the ranks
But I don't think she's trying either. I don't think that's something that's on her agenda.
No. And that's fine. I mean, she doesn't have to go, but, like,
she's
definitely
an African-American icon in terms
of
how big she is.
Who went through, like, absolute hell with her husband and everything. Cher had a really rough go in the 70s.
Madonna,
there.
Who went through hell trying to make her career.
Yeah. And then there's also...
Lady Gaga also went through hell
making her career. You know, it's those people that they fight through adversity and come out stronger.
And
they're the ones that I find
probably
gay
people
attach to the most.
It's like gay people help them get through that. Like,
yeah.
A gay best friend is a trope in TV, and like,
yeah, I mean, but that's what Will and Grace was.
Yeah. Like, these are women who clearly love gay people. They probably had gay friends that probably empowered them, helped them. So that probably made them a lot more sensitive to the gay rights issue.
Yeah,
Especially helping them go through these hard times. But bringing it back to TV, like, it's really easy for a show to become a gay show. Like, take Looking, because it had gay characters. It was this gay iconic status, and taking it away it was an affront to gay rights.
Yeah, although gay people with taste didn't watch it.
But, like, if your show kind of has... And Glee's another example.
Yes, Glee... Well,
even though
Glee appealed to gay people on a few different levels, I think, because there was the minority suppression type thing. There were a lot of gay characters. There was a lot of gay music. It was run by a gay the showrunner was gay.
I think the show is doing a lot more harm than good, because...
The show is over. Drop it.
Is it?
Yes, this was its final season.
Thanks.
You never even watched it.
No, thanks for telling me that my least favorite show on television right now was off.
Which he never watched. But yeah, back to what I was saying about...
That's what people are afraid of with the whole gay thing, is that you're just taking gay and using it to get popular.
Yeah.
Ironically, these same people are looking at people who are undeserving of that and making them popular.
like Rihanna and like...
Ariana Grande.
And a lot of other female singers who come on the scene.
Kesha, at one point.
Yeah.
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Even though Katy Perry does so little, she had the song "You're So Gay," which got a lot of gay people on the fence about it.
And then I kissed a girl,
which isn't really gay. That's kind of just what girls do when they get drunk.
Yeah,
at university.
but what we were talking about with like women going through adversity and coming out stronger and stuff like that is leading into the first topic.
Oh, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears.
Yeah,
although Britney Spears, you gotta give her credit. She's got a lot going for gay people. Like, she's...
I don't know. Not... She's the bubblehead who said that we should stand blindly behind Bush.
Well, she's a bubblehead, though. I'm sure her gay friends forgave her for that. But there are a lot of drag queens who do drag Britney Spears. Like, Britney Spears, just for the sake of, like, putting on a smile and getting up on stage and doing what she does, she commands respect for her sheer, like... for her steel like oxen willpower just stretching through the music industry.
If you say so.
I like her. I think she has a really good attitude.
But we're sort of expanding on this.
This kind of leads into our seaside.
Women who fight through adversity is leading into the first topic on the part three, Seaside. This is a triangle record.
Well, yeah, because we were so long away, we're just going to give you some extra content.
Yeah, so come back for that.
3 days.
Come back for that. There's some political stuff. So just so you're warned, that's what's on there. And so we'll BRB.
Yeah.